we're talking about modern feminism again and where we are as a culture and what the church, what Christians, how they have a better answer. So all that and more in today's episode as we do part two of modern feminism. This is the Free Man's Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Whitmire. Yeah, so modern feminism, chaos. So what does that bring us to today? What do y'all think where we are right now, like, with the feminist movement, what it's become? I mean, we've already kind of talked about this a little bit, but just to, like, kind of flesh it out just a little more, what are y'all's thoughts?
I mean, off the top of my head, I would probably just go with the thing that irks me the most.
Let's hear it.
Okay, absolutely. Preface, I don't think that all feminists or people who self-identify as feminists are evil or have, like, terrible intentions, and I also don't think that all feminism in all forms is purely evil. I don't believe that. I do, however, believe that the result of feminism has really led to severe consequences in the family. One of those consequences being that women don't want family. So I think, like, during the sexual revolution, we have the introduction of, like, hormonal birth control, and then we have the introduction of abortion via surgical abortion and chemical abortion. So I think that now, I think that that is a huge feminist talking point, is reproductive rights. And kind of like this figurehead, like I said earlier, of just victimhood, of men. Like, we are being victimized, therefore we have to, kind of assert our dominance. And this whole idea of being, instead of equal, we are not only the same, but we are the better version. It's like we're the better model of man, because we have the reproductive organs that can create life, or, you know, it's like whatever, then you just decide to kill the life that you can create. So it's like all of it just feels so, feels like an oxymoron in a lot of ways.
Well, you can't recreate life without some form of contribution from a man. At least not
yet.
Naturally.
Not naturally. They are working on it, but... And I think all of that, too, is, like, just, it's the result of... I mean, it's the result of sin, right? But this, the feminism movement is, definitely has its hands in that, this, like, distortion of what it means biologically to be a woman and to be a mother and to have those roles, which I think is just so tragic, honestly. So, without getting too in-depth, I would love to know these other ladies' thoughts about where we are.
Me too.
Just some of what you said really resonated with me. I've been thinking about a lot of the, what's the word for that? When the, like, messaging of Hollywood or just ads that you see, it doesn't really matter. Just the messaging of our world now is that women are these earth goddesses, you know, just like really weird stuff where it's like almost that women should be worshipped. You see that in different songs. I can't remember the artist's name. I don't listen to it. But just like, I think it's an Ariana Grande song. It's like, God is a woman or something like that. Just stuff like that where it's so flippantly talked about. It's just, we've gone to such an extreme with what was originally such a good thing. Women did need protection, and the church failed to provide that. And now we are just spinning, like, endlessly in space, it seems like. Where women, it's just, it's gotten to an absurd an absurd messaging to women and young girls, especially. Just and ultimately what that has led to is women not really feeling any worth, and I think we see that in anxiety and depression, and this is, I think, the result of our culture at large, but this is definitely a huge part of our culture. Suicide rates, like all these different things that I think stem in some ways from this movement, just us not recognizing the way that God has created us, and it just leads to hopelessness.
Yeah.
And purposelessness.
Yeah.
And I love that you brought up the messaging, especially toward like young girls, because that's
subliminal messaging, even in commercials and movies and
social media. That's where most of the anxiety, depression, and suicidal things are coming from, is these poor girls are comparing themselves, have access to compare themselves, for one thing,
to women all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah. Supermodels, all these things. And then they
and
feel...
things that aren't real now.
Yes, very AI not too. Real. Yes. And so they feel... these are just research and stuff, studies I've read, just how the young girls just will feel inadequate and as they try to compare themselves. And then they have other people will jump on their things and say things to them that they beat them down even more. And it's like... For any listeners, if your children are daggum on social media, get them off. Like, right now. Right now. Like, it's not what they need. They need to be confirmed in who God has made them, what God has made them to be, the purpose God has given them.
And they need to have real relationships with real people.
Yes.
Amen. They need to know their
love
by their family.
Yes, they need to love, be know
and
their love by their family.
No matter...
Especially by their dads and their brothers.
No matter what they look like, how they act.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That they'll always have a place that's home and that's safe. And that's... Oh, man, so many problems would be solved.
It would be. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
But men are sinful. Men in general. Women and women are sinful, and...
Mankind is sinful. Yes.
And what I was going to add to this is that I think what bothers me the most about this movement in general, knowing that it comes from, honestly, the false gods, ranks way back with them, the Baals and the Ishtar poles and Molech. Those are the three main that come to mind, that actually every single one of these things that this movement stands for and will stand up for, if you go back and study these false gods and what they demanded of their followers, it's the same garbage. It's, like I said, nothing new. But what bothers me is that even in the Christian home, because the church does not address this, because it's not socially acceptable. Even though a lot of pastors would say, I don't care about socially acceptable stuff, they would definitely skirt around someone coming to them and asking them to please talk on this topic. There are roles that are given to women. There are roles that are given to men. Even in the curse, we are given, and men are given roles. In Proverbs 31,
just on that real quick, sorry. The roles were given before the fall.
Yes.
The fall didn't negate God's design. It just made it really hard.
Well, when God says to be fruitful, to multiply,
all came before the fall,
the earth,
and
he didn't have dominion, and they, meaning both of them, were to rule together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Together. To have dominion, to take dominion.
But even in that, and the only reason I bring that up, because you're absolutely right, like, that role is still there for both man and woman.
Right.
Like, there's so much dignity and worth that God has placed upon us. We are to be the royal sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is what Christ came back to fix. But I'm just saying, like, and please continue on your thought that you were getting at a second ago. I just wanted to jump in and be like, the fall didn't give us a different role, because I've heard people say that before. No. The fall didn't didn't subjugate the woman. No. Yeah, no. Sin made our original roles that much harder.
Yeah.
Our roles were already set. They were what God said, this is very well, good.
Honestly, they were both subjugated.
Yes.
You know.
I'm subjugated as a man to beat my head against a brick wall as I'm trying to work and get the bread out of the hard ground.
Right. And women have pain.
And child labor.
And, well, it says sorrow and conception and child labor. And it's, I'm trying to think where I was stopped.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. But what bothers me is that the church is not teaching. It's not taking the time. It'll quickly go over the women's responsibility in Ephesians, the husband's responsibility, the children's responsibility, you know, and they hammer that home with the kids. You know, sometimes they hammer at home with the wife and the husband, but not to the point that it's not loud enough to drown out all of this.
Yeah.
It's not enough. And it grieves my heart because, you know, not everybody homeschools their kids. Not everybody, you know, takes the time to take what the child has learned from school and to talk them through it and walk them through it and say, okay, this is why this is scripturally okay, or this is why this is scripturally wrong, and this is why this class is teaching you this because of this. And to walk them through, you know, the sin of it or the good of it or whatever, it can be, it's just not done. It's not done.
Yeah.
The world is so much louder.
Well, think about it. Like, let's say you get a sermon on the biblical role of man, woman, children, all that. You get that sermon. That's what? 30 minutes to an hour on a Sunday.
Right. And it's usually jammed together.
Do you know, like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it's like on average, kids are spending 8 hours a day on their phones, yeah, on social media.
I think it's 4 to 7.
Yeah.
4 to 7 minutes on a screen and 4 to 7 minutes outside. Which is less time than a prisoner gets.
Minutes
outside.
Yeah,
sorry.
47 minutes outside, 47 hours
on a screen.
Yes, okay. Yes. So, you're absolutely right. This is louder.
Yeah, it is.
And the church's voice is... I'm not trying to bash the church.
It's not silent,
but I love the church. It's just...
It's quiet.
It's quiet. Yeah. And this is where... us as Christians, us as men, women, it's like, okay, hit the brakes. Let's take a step back. Reevaluate how, again, if your kids are on social media, get them off. And
maybe adults should be off social media too.
Yeah. Unless you're watching
you're right.
The podcast.
Don't delete social media.
Nah. It's okay. Hey, if this never goes anywhere because everybody got off social media, I think my job is well done.
Oh, yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But all that to say, my train of thought just crashed. Cool.
Sorry.
That's, hey. Y'all didn't do it.
It was funny.
I think that was, like, it's just, like, we've said it a couple times, but it's like, when it's this loud, that your purpose is in how you look compared to everybody else, your purpose is in your freedom and ability to do what God didn't design you to do, and so you're constantly, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, please step in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I just get this picture of, like, if I was trying to be the opposite of what God made me to be, and, like, on top of everything else I'm fighting every day,
yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah.
And so it's for awesome. The lie of the enemy to tell women, go be like a man on top of everything else you're dealing with, that's insane.
Yeah.
Right. That is just, and that is, the enemy wants women there.
Yeah.
Because then they're not fulfilling their God-given purpose, so it's not bringing glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are in this constant place of depression and anxiety, and they can't hear the Father's voice telling them, I love you.
Yeah.
The way I made you.
It, yeah.
I know as a child, when any of the discussions came up on what my sister and I wanted to be when we grew up, and we would be like, we don't know. I mean, they start talking to us this when we were 6, 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah.
And I just remember my parents saying, well, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah, I remember.
And then...
That was...
And then even in high school, I was a straight-A student, honor roll. We had moved between my junior and senior year, never had the counseling with my counselor to find out what my career path was going to be and what path I was going to take to get there. And when I went in my senior year and the counselor sat me down and they asked me what I was going to do after high school, and I told them I was going to go over to the community college to take cosmetology because I enjoy doing hair, she about lost it and told me, you know, she couldn't understand why I would throw away, basically, in her opinion, my brain, because I had all these grades. I could get in. She literally said, you can get into any college you want. You would have scholarships, all that you need, and you're wanting to go do this? Because in her mind, she just thought that that's what someone who didn't have the grades had to go do as a woman, and that I needed to pursue something more worthy of my brain skill.
Well,
but
just...
I went to cosmetology school.
Yeah, yeah, you went to cosmetology school, praise God, because if you had gone to New York, like, you had decided, I wouldn't be here right now. and, like, I just think it's amazing that God gave you the aptitude, and then he gave you 14 children to raise and homeschool, and then most of them did insanely well when they got to college. So,
yeah, no, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah,
I think it's so, going back to, like, the purposelessness that we feel like has been perpetrated, I guess, by feminism. I think, just speaking from personal experience, like, my primary job is being home with my toddler.
Yeah.
I'd have a couple things I do on the side, but they're extremely part-time. So when people ask me, like, what are you doing these days? And I'm like, I'm mostly home with my kid. They're like, that's it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah, I've made so little of it.
And I almost, like, I've gotten to this point,
you're
and
not
I...
not doing enough.
Yeah. And I used to feel such shame saying that. I've gotten to a point now where I've, like, accepted that maybe this is what I was created for, and maybe it's beautiful, and maybe I love this more than anything I've ever done before. But I...
Sorry. I'm not... This is... What I'm about to say is not at all... It's going to sound sarcastic, but I'm not trying to be sarcastic when you said.
No,
I'm actually trying to, like, hype it up. Go figure.
Yeah.
Like, it's what you were made to do.
Yeah.
And be. And it's glorious.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And it's good. And it's... Honestly.
Yeah.
It is arguably the most... Or one of the most important things on the planet.
One of the most difficult.
Yes. Absolutely it is.
Yeah. It's definitely the most.
I will take the field working in the sun all day compared to what you poor women are doing.
We're not poor women.
Not poor women. That's not what I meant.
Well, there are days.
No, that's not what I meant. In the sense of, like, the struggle and just, it is, because you guys, I mean, I see how hard it is.
Yeah.
I know how hard it is. It's just like, I would take sweating my face off in, you know, trying to plow a field over the struggle that I see that
trying
y'all...
Trying to break through someone's stubbornness?
Yeah. I mean, there are days that, like, I'll go to work and I'm like, oh, the, you know, regular job is so much easier.
Yeah.
It feels like a break. You know, like, and that's not saying that, okay, that makes it sound like parenting is terrible, but it's not. It's beautiful. But I think... In our culture and in our society, because of feminism to an extent, and obviously some of that is, like, just the family unit itself being degraded and kind of starting to disintegrate, we view family as so low on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yes. without it, you know, when you historically you look at all the great civilizations, as the family unit starts to deteriorate, mm-hmm. the yeah, entire civilization starts to deteriorate.
Well,
to add to that,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that I know of some young married couples that this is so much infiltrated into some families that when it's still the same 50s mentality mm-hmm. of I'm the guy is the breadwinner, he goes out, he earns the money, and he comes home and wifey has food on the table, kids are bathed, mm-hmm. you know, they may be already in bed. What?
You said wifey.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right? That's what she is in the 50s. Yeah. She's wifey.
And
yeah.
when it comes down to making financial decisions on what they should buy or what they should do, the husband looks at her and says, you don't earn any money, so you don't have a say. Yeah. Now, and that's someone I personally know has done this to his wife, and he doesn't grasp the idea that she is working so hard all day long mm-hmm. to keep his house clean, yep. to keep his child fed and dressed and bathed and clean laundry and all these things, and he doesn't realize the work that she's doing. And this yep. is from this movement that we have been talking about, because it's so infiltrated in that he thinks that because she doesn't have a job, she is somehow so much less than him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that...
And this is where some of the feminist women would say to this young mom that, come over here and understand the feminist movement, because your husband's a real jerkwad and he shouldn't be treating you this way. It's abusive.
Yeah, and he might actually be.
Well...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I think...
But... That's not always the case.
But I mean, yeah. it's so infiltrated to where that motherhood is so downplayed, even amongst Christians, because this is a Christian family, that it's still looked down on because she's not providing money to the household.
I had to talk to you offline. I kind of want to go punch this guy in the face. Not a violent podcast by any means, but infuriates me. It infuriates me.
Joel seething over there.
it's the kind of thing, like, that was going to be my next question, so great segue. Is like, where has this brought us today, especially like men? And I think, mm-hmm. I think in big part, you do have solid churches that are like waking up and they're like teaching the truth to the men, and the men are starting to step up, and right. it's a beautiful picture. And like y'all's husbands are fantastic.
Biblical manhood, you know?
Biblical manhood, yeah, absolutely. Yep. So all of that, but also, like, I think what you just described with that man is, like, the overreaction. Mm-hmm. And that's not even the worst overreaction. Like, you have the Andrew Tates out there that are just insane overreactions to the feminist movement.
What's sad is that this person's grandfather was this way to his grandmother, and he detested his grandfather for doing that to his grandmother, and yet he's doing it to his wife.
The exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he can't see it.
I mean, that's usually, as I heard
because
a preacher say once...
All he can feel is the financial pressure, and she's not contributing.
Yeah. As I heard a preacher say once, sin makes you stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes you blind, and you just don't see it.
You can't fix stupid, yeah.
No. God can. praise God.
Yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, that's just like... So, yeah, y'all's thoughts, like, on, like, where this has brought us. What are y'all's thoughts overall with everything we've talked about, where it's brought us, and just, like, everything like that? Because... Yeah, that kind of situation, the overreaction of men becoming even more abusive makes it infuriates me to the point of wanting to be violent.
Yeah.
As a man. Like,
right.
I want to punch your face in.
Yeah.
But
well, as a woman, it's like, how dare you treat her this way?
Well, yeah.
You're so wrong. And,
for sure.
And I'm not a feminist, but it's like, she doesn't deserve to be treated this way.
Mm-hmm. No one does.
Right.
Yeah. Humans.
Right.
Yeah, but especially right. the women.
Yeah.
And I say that especially the women, because of the role God's given, and then the role God's made the man to be the protector, and then when he's abusing instead of protecting, it's like, I mean, if I, being evil, can get angry at this, how much more my Heavenly Father, who's the perfect just judge?
Yeah.
Like, so, watch out, dude. Sorry.
So go instead, ahead. Instead of punching this person, you just need to pray for him.
I might not pray the best. Okay. Lord, would you please stop?
Send somebody to punch him.
Oh, no.
Just open his eyes.
Yeah, for real.
Convict his heart.
Mm-hmm. For his family,
and protect
for his whole family
during the process.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think it would be great to touch on how we think it's affected men. I feel like, because you touched on, like, the Andrew Tates of the world, like, mm-hmm. there is definitely, like, the, what is it, like, the red pill kind of, like.
Yeah, well, that's not even like, red pill. That's, like, next level, just, like, what the heck.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but it just, like, can go too far in the opposite direction.
Misogynist. Like, hyper-misogynist is Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
You look like you weren't familiar.
I don't know who Andrew Tate is.
Yeah. Hyper-misogynist.
You wouldn't like him.
Like, 2 seconds
and
you
would. Never have
heard of him. I want to punch him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. No, so, like, you have...
Not violent.
We're not
at all condoning violence.
Promoting or condoning. No, I think...
wanting to and doing is two different things.
Dang. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. That's okay. I was going to say, there's, like, that side, right, where, like, men are trying to be hyper-controlling and even hyper-manipulative and trying to take back their role and not doing so from the lens of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because the pendulum just swings the other way.
The pendulum just swings. And then you were saying there's also some good revival happening. You have, like, this middle ground in the church of, like, there's a revival of men, like, taking up their calling and taking up their leadership. Mm-hmm. And also women taking up their roles as beautiful, and I just pray that that continues. That's
Amen.
Amazing.
Yes.
But I also, you know, then you have the extreme side where it's like men are so emasculated that they no longer want or desire to be...
Or they're afraid.
That is massive in the dating world right now, what you just described.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, like, women are like, where are the guys? And the guys are like, women want nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. So why bother?
Well, they're scared. They're scared because
I know
they're afraid
about
of being
that.
Me too. You know, they're afraid of being accused of being an abuser or being, you know, whatever. And I even asked my husband, I was like, well, how has modern feminism affected you? And in typical Cam fashion, he sat on the couch and he did one of these.
Did he get his pipe out?
Let
me think on this.
Let me think. And he as if you've listened to the podcast before, you probably know he's been pursuing. He just finished it, but he was pursuing his master's degree, so he's been in the world of academia for a little while.
Right.
But he's felt that there's a, like, a societal distaste for having a family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He almost feels like,
it's all about me.
You know, as you say that, one of the things he's mentioned to me multiple times about when you two were dating was that
your face.
He told a story, and if I'm outing him, it shouldn't out him.
Sorry, Cam.
This shouldn't out him. I'm trying to, like, honor both of you in this, because I thought it was amazing. He told a story of how you got super scared about whether you would be a good mom. Mm-hmm. And I know you had that same situation. I don't know if you did. Yeah, of course. Okay. That seems to be a common theme. But he looked at you, he's like, don't you realize that one of the biggest reasons, not the biggest, but one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to marry you was because I thought you would be the most awesome mom to my children.
Yeah.
And I, like, that, Cam, if you ever hear this, that is the antidote to this.
Yeah.
It is a man who takes his role, recognizes the awesome beauty, dignity of his wife's role, and of being a mom and a homemaker and being his wife, and he elevates it and he praises it, just like Proverbs 31
Yes.
Which I feel like I saw y'all get that open. I was like, if y'all want to get into that, go for it. We're definitely going to get into that when we get into the episode, which coming up for you guys, I just did finger guns. Wow.
Finger guns.
Really awkward.
Coming up for our audience. Holy smokes. Thanks for calling me out like that, Anna.
You said you... I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang it. I'm not going to get that one done.
Biblical womanhood.
Episode coming up soon. That's biblical womanhood. Thank you, Mara. Holy smokes. Please, somebody else start talking.
About what?
Proverbs 31. I don't care.
You had it open first.
Oh, no. Go for it. I'm done with talking.
I was going to say something before that. Go ahead. Is that, you know, when the man take up their biblical role, because it's been squashed by this movement to a large degree, I think most men didn't realize that women felt that way until they learn about feminism, and then they might go home as kids and ask their mom about it, and she will enlighten them more, or if she's agreeing with it. But you know, there's the role of the husband and the dad, and for him to love his wife as Christ loved the church, who laid himself down for her, gave up his life for her. It's not just the wife making the home and raising the kids. It's the man coming in from the field, as you say, after a hard day's work, and realizing his wife is exhausted and has had her fill of disobedience up to her eyeballs, and the house is wrecked.
I feel called out.
The house is a wreck, and the kids are still running around screaming. Nobody's been, you know, fed for dinner, and nobody's had a bath. And he can come in and just say, "I'm going to take the kids. You go take a bath, or you go read your favorite book. You go rest." It's him taking that responsibility on as the head of his home, being a man, and not being degraded in doing so. That's not emasculating him. That is taking the authority that God gave him.
Yes.
And loving his wife.
I think about...
And loving her well.
I think about Jesus, who is the perfect, obviously. But he is the example of the most masculine human that's ever lived.
Right.
And he got down and washed their feet.
Mm-hmm. And obeyed his mom.
He obeyed his mom. He honored his mom. He made sure she was taken care of
the
cross.
That's right.
On the cross. And he perfectly honored his father.
Yes.
Yes.
And he came for us. And so, like, all that to be like, that's the masculine, is to, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, to love her and give himself for her. That is not just a one and done. That is a constant thing. And that is what Christ does for us all the time. Like, think about how often... We're exhausted, we're done, we're tired, we, no matter what, like, just the craziness of our lives, and he's just like, hey, sit down, I got this.
He humbled himself, left his heavenly throne, came here and served his bride.
Took on the form of
served
a servant.
Served his bride, and she spit in his face many times. I'm not talking about his disciples.
I was just saying that wasn't his bride.
Well,
until the church was.
But
anyways,
he came.
I'm being technical.
He
I'm
came
sorry.
To he did. Wash
yes,
Israel.
He did. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And he. so, a man's role is to serve as well.
Yes. Absolutely.
So he's just, you know. Yeah. I mean, the movement has definitely. Like, put handcuffs on the men and gag order on them.
Modern feminism.
Restraining order on them. And
modern feminism seeks to
remove it.
Feminize men and
emasculate.
Emasculate women.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. One of y'all are going to read something from Proverbs 31.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
As we start winding down.
I think we've already, you actually quoted what I was going to read, so. If you had something different, absolutely.
Go ahead.
But, I had some thoughts on, like, how men have been affected by this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And maybe an antidote. But just, I've seen this in too many ways, personally. And I want to speak about the church, actually, because I think we're really quick to say, this is true out there, but it's not true in here. And unfortunately, I don't think that is entirely correct.
Yep.
I will preface that, thank God that the church that I have been able to be a part of works to remedy this, I believe. But even within the church, and you hinted at this with the dating scene, I see this with a lot of young men. And whenever I was, you know, looking at who I would marry and before I had met Cohen and all those things, I was just incredibly disappointed by the men that were my options, because they had been, like so many of, just everyone has said at this point, they were emasculated, they were afraid of me, they, because I'm more on the independent side, and I like to do things, and I had my own time where I dabbled in feminism, and it's a story for another time. I did. I was just very entranced by the world and what it was offering me, and just the hope of being able to live my own life the way I wanted to, the way all of us feel about sin. But I think that men have just, within the church, been made afraid of not buying into this lie that women are great and equal and can do all the same things that men can do in every aspect. And so, yeah, I think, what was I trying to say? So, yeah, there's fear there that they have to support the feminist movement as much as any woman does. And, like, if they don't, then they're going to just get dogged on.
Yeah.
And honestly, women in the church at large have not done a good job at coming under the headship of elders, coming under the authority of their father. They're not modeling that they'll be submissive wives. And submissive, not in the scary, like, I'm in charge of you way, but submissive in the supporting their husband in his goals and in listening to their husband and in considering that fact that God has created him to lead their home, and that he can do it more effectively than I can.
Yeah.
Those were things that I struggled to, like, take as truth, and I think many women in the church do because it's such a, it's such a beautiful little lie. But I that's the problem, right? And the solution is very simple. It's humility on both sides. Like, women need to humble themselves to realize that we are in a lot of ways taking things that are not ours to take, and I think that that has hurt us very badly. I've noticed that a lot of women that I speak to in the church that are either near to getting married or want to be married in the future are like, I would love to stay home with my kids, but I can't anymore. You know, like, you can't afford it, or you can't, there's all these different reasons. And it's not like, it's almost like, where's the reverse button? But if we would humble ourselves and repent and turn to God. I think that's what Nehemiah is. Is that in Nehemiah? No, it's somewhere else, but
there is a big time.
There's something in the
Nehemiah,
Old Testament where it's talking about that, but just how we need to humble ourselves and repent before God that, like, we have been believing incorrectly about what he's designed us to do. And men as well need to humble themselves to realize that it's not about the way that you look. I think that there's gotten, in the church, has been such a big priority put on men to, like, look a certain way, act a certain way, say the right things in order to attract a woman, whereas the reality of it is just follow Christ and the Lord will supply all that you need. Maybe you're not going to be married. Maybe that's not what the Lord has for you, but what is true, no matter what, is that you will have everything that you need. And if that means a wife, a helpmeet, whatever. I'm not trying to preach men. I have before, unfortunately.
You're good. This is good stuff. It's really good stuff.
But on both sides, we just both need to humble ourselves and repent before God that we have not lived the way that we should. And we need to repent to one another and apologize for the way that we have acted. as a society towards one another, and just allow those things to be healed. I don't think it can heal until everyone's willing to be take on the humility of Christ.
No, I think that's right on, because that is God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So go figure, when there's an issue and you're not getting help, maybe humble yourself. But it's like, I think what you just described about like the dating scene, just what I've experienced myself and with the college students that I tried to disciple and encourage and such, I think you nailed it right on the head, exactly the way it is. And I think guys have this expectation. I could spend hours talking about the issues and expectations of guys when it comes to dating, but I think that you're right. Humble yourself, follow Christ. Men, be courageous, because from what I just I'm going to try to be careful with my words.
There's a lack of courage.
There is a lack of courage. No, I've experienced that even recently. Like, it's intimidating. So, if maybe this doesn't need to come from a guy to any women that might listen to this, but like, maybe be encouraging. Like, maybe be a little more open. It might help guys who are seeking to be courageous help them in their courage. But anyways, all that to say is like, humility on both sides of like, humble yourself, men, to be courageous, because that takes humility to die to yourself and go put yourself out there. And then women, like I'm not going to rehash everything you just said. But yeah, I think it's, I completely agree. So, good thoughts.
Very good thoughts, yeah.
So any closing thoughts, any closing ideas as we land this plane, to use the Southern Baptist preacher phrase?
Love it.
I think Steven says that often. We're going to land this plane.
I'm going to pay attention to that more now.
Yeah.
I don't think I've noticed.
He's going to get upset at me. He's like, I don't say that.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, any closing thoughts? Just everything we've talked about? Any? I'll put it this way. If you don't have anything off the top of your head, I'm going to ask one last question of, what would you want to say to a young woman who might be struggling with this modern feminism, and or a young man who's caught up in the middle ground of having no clue how to interact with women because of that? Like, what might you want to say as an encouragement? Somebody.
Somebody. Okay.
It depends on where they're at in the movement.
Okay, so you know, I mean, you just mean,
if they're just being taught a little bit about it and they're coming and asking my opinion, then I would tell them what God's Word says.
Okay.
I would point them to the goodness of the beginning of the movement and the fallacy of the rest of it.
Yeah.
If they're like entrenched in it, then that would take a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
Because you can't change somebody's mind. Only the Spirit can. Only the Spirit can change someone's heart. Mm-hmm. You can lay out truth, you can plant seeds, but it's the Spirit that does the work in someone's heart. And this is definitely, I really honestly think it started out as a good thing to help women get educated in the things that it was, but what it has grown to over the years is just enormously and erroneously sinful.
Yeah.
And it would just, if I had to go and speak to someone, if I really felt like the Lord was wanting me to, if someone came to me and I didn't want to behave like Jonah, because that might be my first gut response.
Dang.
I would have to stop and pray. If it was a meeting with someone and I would have to just, you know, if we were having lunch or something and they brought it up, I would be like, okay, Lord, what do I say? And just ask the Lord to speak to me, because I would not on the spot be able to fleshly say anything that was going to change someone's mind or heart. And it would have to be Him.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't honestly know what to say to someone other than like what I've already said, it just depends on if they're just learning about it or they're completely entrenched in it. It's just too vast of a...
That's fair. I asked a big question. That was my fault. But that is a good a way to approach any conversation, what you just described, which is going into a prayer, humility before the Lord of like, how do I handle this? Right. And it is, there's going to be nuance with every person.
Well,
every
person, it doesn't matter if it's this movement or anything else that
for sure.
is, spiritually wrong or whatever, however you want to say that.
But, yeah.
I think be really hard.
I think it's better. I'll save this for a minute. I want to say something in a minute, but I want to hear y'all's thoughts.
Okay. I mean, I think similar to Mona, I think I would say that every case is different. Every person is different. You kind of have to feel out where they're at. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, I think I would just want to speak to just the beauty of the purpose of women and the beauty of the difference in roles that we have, and that femininity. I think it's so funny that we're calling it the feminist movement, and it's kind of just the rejection of everything that's truly feminine. But I think that I would just encourage young women that being gentle and being kind and being sensitive, emotional, relational, that those things are beautiful and God-given, and in submission to the Lord, He will use you for great things. And just that you are loved and seen and fully known by your Creator. I think that I think the antidote is humility, like what you were saying earlier. But I think even before we get to that spot, when we're teaching, like if I ever have a daughter, you know, I think preventatively, the preventative medicine to that is the gospel of Christ. And teaching our daughters and our sons that they're loved and they're valued for their unique abilities and capabilities and purposes on this earth. So.
Yeah,
that's probably, kind of what I'd say.
That's fantastic. Well said.
I think I love the way that y'all answered this. The only thing I would tack on, I think simply because this is a struggle of myself, that's not my own struggle, is that your worth is not found in your ability to produce for society or your ability to be societally correct. It's not, you cannot define yourself. You will only find death and darkness down that road. Sadness, deep sadness. And I think that the longer we try to pursue those things, the more that we feel hopeless. And it's because our hope is in Christ and in the truth that He has established for our world. And so the only way we can rectify the situation is by embracing that and embracing the role that He's given us, instead of falling prey to, let's be honest, a lie that looks really pretty on the outside, but is just dead bones underneath the surface.
Yeah.
I love that you brought that up. About the worth thing, because
productivity.
No, that's just so. I mean, I meant that, but it just makes. I feel like we've all felt that. I don't know if you felt that too, but just like that, the feeling of like, I need to produce something.
Yes.
You know,
to be
like at the end of the day, like. I want to look back and say, I did this, this, and this. I accomplished all of these things. And I think that, you know, speaking as a mother, like, you don't really have a huge list, maybe, of things that you've accomplished throughout the day.
Or they get undone as you do them.
Things.
Yeah, bringing and raising a child.
Okay, world, yes, like. But I'm talking about, like, tangible cross off the to-do list.
Sure.
Or even, like, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, making money or something like that.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
I think that some women feel that they lose themselves. In raising a family.
Mm-hmm.
And without a real relationship with the Lord, you can really feel that way really quickly.
Yeah.
And finding time, you know, God's word says that he gently leads those with young.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that don't let society, don't let your church, don't let your friends who are doing the same thing you're doing make you feel bad because you aren't doing enough, or maybe you didn't have time to read your Bible today because you were up all night with a kid, and you know, God knows this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real easy, and see, the feminist movement would tell you that this is not okay for you to lose yourself in the process of being a mom, but it is the most precious thing ever. Is such a gift to serve, to give up yourself as Christ does.
Right.
Not only the men should, but the women do as well, because they do give up a lot to raise their family.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you guys for coming on. This has been such a blessing to hear y'all's just perspectives and your antidotes and everything that God has, like, poured into you that you get to just share about this movement in our culture, because this is this kind of conversation, speaking truth into this type of thing, is the only way to do it, that anything will get fixed. And I just want to say, like, with everything, like, anytime we talk about this, like, and I think y'all did a good job of this, is, like, emphasize the beauty of the good.
Mm-hmm.
The wonder and the glory. Like, it is glorious for women to be moms and wives and homemakers and made in the image of God, fulfilling the purpose. It's glorious for them. Not if they don't ever get that role, it's still glorious because you're made in the image of Almighty God to be feminine, to be woman. And it's good. And it's better than anything the feminist movement will ever offer you. And same for the men. Like, it's good and glorious and wondrous that we are made in the image of God, but we've done episodes on manhood.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay,
By all means.
With my husband's ministry, he likes to teach on Genesis and the creation, and women need to understand the actual real gift they are, because God created everything, and the last thing he created was a woman. Everything else, he said, this is good. But with a woman, this is very good. So you need to understand your worth in God's eyes, that you are very good.
Yeah.
He created you to be something so special to the man that he's given you. And for the women who don't have men, because God has not provided that man, you are so special to your Heavenly Father, because he is your husband. So I just want to say that.
That's a great way to end.
I love that. It's a perfect way to end it.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening. If you found this was helpful, I can't talk anymore. Share with a friend, like, subscribe, hit that bell so you can get notifications when more episodes drop, just like this. But yeah, thanks for listening. God bless y'all.
Bye.